What's the matter?
There's a monster outside my room. Can I have a glass of water?
Hello, Now Playing listeners. Longtime host Stuart here, asking just a little bit of your time to talk about big things here at the podcast. Big is the only way to describe 2018. There were big superhero movies like Black Panther, Deadpool 2, Infinity War, big horror movies like Halloween, Hereditary, The Nun, big action, Mission Impossible Fallout, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, big family films, Incredibles 2, Rampage, Ralph Breaks the Internet, and of course big sci-fi like Ready Player One and Solo. We've been able to cover all these big event films because Now Playing receives big support from our listeners, who continue to help us meet the unyielding demand of producing 100-plus podcasts a year by giving us big downloads and continued financial support. We racked our brains to come up with a way to give a big thank you to all the patrons and donors as we close out the year. And once I saw that Glass was primed to be the first big film of 2019, I knew that it was now the right time to finally do that M. Night Shyamalan retrospective. He is a writer-director who makes big films with big stars, and they grapple with big themes, and they cover all the genres that we cover here at Now Playing. As I've mentioned, horror, sci-fi, action, family films. He does what we do in his repertoire. And so, yes, sometimes they end up being among the biggest box office successes of all time, like Ghost Story The Sixth Sense or alien invasion blockbuster Signs. And sometimes they flop big time with both critics and audiences, and that will be the fun of this series. We will ride an incredible wave of ups and downs as we follow his Hollywood career. Our fall 2018 gold level donation series is going to be the biggest one we've ever done. 11 M. Night Shyamalan thrillers, starting with the acclaimed Sixth Sense and Unbreakable, building to Split and Glass, which will launch Knight's superhero characters into their own epic movie universe. Why don't you take a listen to a snippet from this week's show, Signs, and I'll be back to tell you how you can hear the whole thing and help Now Playing continue to meet its operational costs.
This is a War of the Worlds ripoff, right?
They call it out! It's like War of the Worlds. Yeah, because the aliens have a stupid fucking weakness.
Well, also the newscasters, they feel very Orson Welles. This just feels like M. Night decided he wanted to do War of the Worlds a couple years before Spielberg.
Yeah, I mean, just to put it in context, I believe Spielberg resurrected War of the Worlds to comment on 9/11. This movie started shooting on September 12th. 2001. It is not intended in its design to be that commentary. I think it's completely happenstance. The two movies happen to be made so close together.
Maybe, but I also wonder if M. Night might have tried to get the rights to War of the Worlds and Spielberg had him locked up and M. Night decided, okay, I'll do Crop Circles and Signs.
I don't think M. Night thinks about doing other people's works intentionally. I'll put it that way. With few exceptions, he usually doesn't adapt others. He's the genius that comes up with the ideas. But yes, I do believe that it makes sense that if you've already covered ghosts and superheroes, the next logical step in talking about urban myth and the realm of the supernatural and how it intervenes with reality and faith and belief, it makes sense that he would come here.
Yeah, I'm just saying that so much of the story, including the alien's weakness, does feel like a War of the Worlds ripoff. So that's why I think water is the weak point, is the same way that just the germs in our air killed those aliens. Spoiler alert for War of the Worlds, you know, the original version.
Well, water was also the kryptonite to Bruce Willis in Unbreakable.
That's why I said that's when he came up with his next idea for a movie, was at that moment in Unbreakable.
Yeah, it's a theme. It will be woven into his own personal identity. More on that next week. But
there's more water stuff.
So the lady in water is completely safe from these aliens.
Right. What M. Night has claimed his number one influence was Hitchcock's The Birds. The scope of it would be similar. That while this thing was happening all over the world, this strange phenomenon no one could explain, it would be set on a single farm and it would take the vantage point of just a few characters. That was the novelty of it. But he also talked about Night of the Living Dead and the original Body Snatchers. And again, he wants to be Hitchcock. And he refused to bring up Spielberg, but we're all thinking Close Encounters too.
That's what I expected with this movie. After Unbreakable, I expected this entire movie to be aliens give signs. And at the very end, Mel Gibson, much like Richard Dreyfuss, stands at the base of an alien ship as the door opens and credits roll. That's what I came in just expecting to have happen. Now, I saw the trailers. I remembered the tinfoil hats. I remembered watching the news, but I still just thought it would all be heralding the aliens' arrival.
How are you not thinking X-Files? That's what I was thinking, because I think there may be a lawsuit here if someone wanted to pursue it. The score at times is just straight up that X-Files opening theme.
No, I think the score was very much Bernard Herrmann, who is Hitchcock's go-to composer for many of his greatest. It reminds me of Psycho, North by Northwest, all of those. I mean, if X-Files ends up sounding like it in notes. I didn't hear that, Jacob, but I do think the attempt that is being made is to tell us from the get-go you're in a Hitchcock thriller.
And I don't have a problem with doing that thing like from The Birds, where it's this worldwide epidemic, but we're going to focus on one little family in a house, kind of like Night of the Living Dead. Because I think M. Night, from the first two films, what's impressed me the most coming back to these is seeing how well he's done, even when he's using silly things like a bumblebee pendant, how well he's done with these little family dynamics. And that's what's really won me over with those last two rewatching them. So yeah, to throw a little family in here, they got a crisis of faith and yeah, all that. Let's see if that works.
We're dumped right into it. I mean, when the movie starts, it just begins with Joaquin Phoenix and Mel Gibson running towards screaming children. They're running through the rows and trying to find the two kids. I don't know who these guys are. I didn't know they were brothers or friends or anything. All I know is there's kids screaming, and it's because Rory Culkin's character found a crop circle.
Always the best Culkin. Just want to put a...
Yes, thank you. I agree.
He's actually an excellent actor, and I've enjoyed him in lots of things. And he's good here, but it's not his film. What might surprise fans of Sixth Sense is that the children in this are truly the backseat. This is a Mel Gibson movie about faith.
And you got two good child actors here. Abigail Breslin, loved her in Little Miss Sunshine and Zombieland. Like, you got two good kids here that can act.
True. But they're not the featured players. It tells us from the first shot, Mel sitting up from a nightmare, he cannot get over. I mean, we see in the background, he's wearing the collar. And at first I'm like, wait a minute, how can a priest have a family? He's not a Catholic priest, he's a reverend. But in a million little details, from looking at a wall where there's an imprint of a crucifix that must have recently been taken down, to the fact that he corrects everyone to saying, don't call me father. This is a character who announces, I have left the church. And so the movie will be about him coming back to the church.
And I couldn't help, and maybe this is because I know that movie so well and I watch it regularly, but this feels exactly like Harvey Keitel's character in From Dusk Till Dawn, the reverend whose wife dies in a car accident and he has a crisis of faith and stops believing in God and has two children, a son and a daughter, and then through crisis and an encounter with the supernatural, he's going to regain that faith and become a warrior of God. It's the exact same character arc here down to the car crash.
And so, if you want to hear the rest of this show and all 11 podcasts in our M. Night Shyamalan Thrillers retrospective, head over to nowplayingpodcast.com, click the banner at the top of the page, follow the instructions on how you can become a goal-level donor. It's a donation of $30 that will get you a total of 16 bonus podcasts. Because not only are you receiving M. Night, but you're going to get 5 additional silver-level donation shows that are going to dig into the legacy of Italian horror icon, director Dario Argento. He is the creator of a horror classic from 1977 called Suspiria. It and its sequels, Inferno and Mother of Tears, form a trilogy known as The Three Mothers. And so you're going to get all 3 of those shows when you go gold. Plus, we've covered Argento's camp classic Phenomena. Plus, we've covered the new Suspiria remake that's been blowing up in limited release here in America. You're going to get all of those shows, 16 total, It's the biggest gift we could come up with for listeners this season, and we thank you in advance for continuing to allow us to produce all the content that we do. We see donating people, and it fills our hearts and gives us the means and motivation to continue into an even bigger year of podcasting that we've got planned for 2019, which happens to be my 10th anniversary with the show. And so thank you again for listening. Thank you for donating. Thank you for helping us to continue to produce this unbreakable streak of podcasts. I will talk with all of you soon.
I made some sandwiches.
I want spaghetti.
Spaghetti sounds great. What do you want, Morgan?
French toast and mashed potatoes.
Now we're talking. How about you, Meryl?
Chicken teriyaki.
Good choice. I'm going to have a cheeseburger with bacon. Extra bacon.
Your support helps keep Now Playing on the air.
This is exactly what the nerds want.
The opinions expressed on Now Playing are those of the individual hosts and may not reflect the opinion of Venganza Media Incorporated.
You're going to feel very silly when this turns out to be all just make-believe.
Venganza Media Incorporated is not affiliated with, and this podcast has not been prepared, approved, or licensed by any entity that created the film analyzed herein.
I'm not going to report this or anything you do to my crops to the news or TV or anybody. You're not going to get famous.
All movie clips and music included in this podcast are the intellectual property of their respective copyright holders. They are included here for the purpose of review, and no infringement is intended.
How could anyone possibly know that information? It's ridiculous. What else did it say?
Now Playing Podcast is an exclusive trademark of and may not be used without the express written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
Is it possible? There are no coincidences.
Now Playing is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2018, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated. All rights reserved.
Ground forces have been assembled in countries throughout the globe. Hundreds of thousands have flocked to temples, synagogues, and churches. God be with us all.